Greetings, Northridge Church. Wasn't that a great video? Seeing what God has done, seeing what God is doing in all the churches, and excited to see what he's going to do. This is the State of the Church address that we do every year. We do this to remind us of why we exist. And so I want to welcome all of the churches, including Fall City, Humboldt, Nebraska City, up in Peru, Sabetha, Seneca. Just thank you so much for being committed to our Lord Jesus Christ and committed to his church. Technically, I'm the network pastor. My name is Charlie. Most of you probably don't even know me, and that's not even important. It's important that you know the Lord. It's important that we are together as a church on purpose, on mission. But I want to talk to you before we get into that too deeply. You have an outline in front of you. You all have outlines either in your bulletin or you grabbed an outline coming in. I think it's important on number one that before we know who we are, we must know whose we are. Before we know who we are as a church gathering together, we first have to know who we belong to. We have to make sure that we are rooted in the Word of God, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's only one gospel. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says Jesus died and he rose again. He died, and the proof of that was that he was buried. And then he rose again, and the proof of that was people saw him. And so that's the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died and he rose again for you, to pay for your sins and to prove that he had power over death. The simple gospel is seen in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, you, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And in John 17, it defines eternal life as knowing Jesus Christ. There's no other provisos in there. There's no other exceptions. It's whoever believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. It doesn't say, and you have to go to confession, and you have to be a good person, and you have to be a member of a church, and you have to be baptized. It doesn't say any of those things. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that he died and he rose again to pay for your sin. And we need to make sure that we trust in that. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's for by grace that you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a free gift of God, not by your works, so that no one can boast. Nobody can get to heaven and say, oh, well, I'm here because I did this or I did that or I was a good person or I went to church or I did any of these things. It's only because of Jesus Christ's payment on the cross that we are allowed in heaven, right? There is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And John 14, he reiterates it in verse 6 where Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. It is important to know right now where you're sitting who you belong to. It's important. All the rest doesn't even matter as much as your personal salvation with Christ. Now, the exciting thing is that when you put your faith and trust in Christ, that the Holy Spirit places you into the church, then you become part of the family of God. And that's what we want to talk to and remind you again of today. Why you walked into this place. Why you come to church. Why you belong to the body of Christ. We put it this way, that we exist to reach and equip people for Christ without borders. That's number two in your outline. We need to know why we exist as a church. You don't just come to kind of, you know, punch your card in, your attendance card, like you're going to get a little pin or a little reward or a pat on the back, right? We don't exist just because like we're some type of country club where we just get together and have socials and talk about different things that are going on. We exist specifically to reach and to equip people for Christ without borders. And we often talk about this. The reaching is where we invest in other people's relationships. We give the gospel to them. We reach out to them and try and give the gospel, help them to come to know Christ. And then the equipping part is the making disciples. And that takes us to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. And number 3 in your outline says that we are to be making disciples. And making disciples is simply this. Making disciples is simply helping one another become more like Jesus. Become more like Jesus in his character. Become more like Jesus in his priorities. In his character, in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, there's a whole list of the fruit of the Spirit. You can read through the Gospels and read the different characteristics that Christ had. And our job in making disciples is merely to help one another become more like Jesus in his character. If he was patient, we need to be patient. If he was loving, we need to be loving. If he exuded care, we need to exude care. If he served, then we need to serve. And also in his priorities, Jesus himself said that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. If his priority is to get the gospel, the good news to people, for them to be saved, that's our priority. If his priority was to go into all the world and preach the gospel, then that's our priority, to go to the uttermost part of the earth, to everywhere. So whether it's in our homes or to the other side of the world, our priority is to get the gospel out to people and to make disciples. It's interesting in that Matthew 28 passage where it says go. It's actually going, teaching, baptizing, why we're doing all these things. But the key command is to make disciples. The only command there, the only imperative is to make disciples. Wouldn't it be great if every day we woke up and every time we walked into church, what was on our mind was, how can I help someone be more like Jesus? How can I be more like Jesus? But then how can I help someone else be more like Jesus? How can I care? How can I serve? How can I be the example that people can, as 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow me because I follow Christ. Have the same character that you see in me because I have the character of Christ. So we can both reflect it and encourage it in other people's lives. This is why we do what we do. We're reaching and equipping people for Christ, not for Northridge, not for some organization, but for Christ. And that without borders. That means to everyone, everywhere, all the time. It is the making of disciples. It is the making of disciples that we give Bibles out in Seneca, right? How we make disciples is we give out Bibles. Seneca had a Bible program, still does, going through. Gave away over 400 Bibles, have different groups that do that. And as a matter of fact, for those of you in Sabetha, be prepared, because they're going to be launching that this month in January. They'll be launching the Bible reading program that Seneca does. They're copycatting it. Isn't that wonderful that we can copycat each other? When we're making disciples, we can copy that and do that. And I'm hoping all the churches will eventually go through that. But we make disciples when we read the Bible. We make disciples when we comfort those who have lost loved ones. And we've lost over 10 people in our fellowship in the Northridge family here, in the Northridge network. We especially think of the Nanning family, the Farwell family, the Avery family, those who had kind of special losses, and then many who have lost a parent, a sibling, a child. But we make disciples when we comfort one another, when we come alongside, maybe, you know, to give a hug, to share a verse, to make a meal, to give, Our love fund. Our love fund has given over $135,000. Why? Because that's part of making disciples. When we see someone in need, we're able to share with them. And this is money that you gave to one another through the church to serve and to help meet different needs. We make disciples when we continue to meet together. Whether it's the preaching, coming under the preaching of the word or the teaching or small groups or prayer times that we have throughout the week at different campuses. Making disciples happens when we are sending over 40 young people, some of them are already there as we're watching this, to a CrossCon conference where many have then gone on to serve the Lord both overseas and in ministry and in raising godly families. It's a very impacting conference, and we've just sent over 40 of our young people to that conference. Making disciples is when we are open to helping struggling churches in other towns, small towns that are around us. Making disciples happen, even whether it's we have ministries to widows, to orphans and adoption ministries. Why do we do that? Because it's all part of making disciples. We have prison ministries, Mike Ohm, Brian Sheffield, right? These guys go in and do Bible studies and share the gospel in prisons. Why do we do that? Because it's part of making disciples. Why do we send collect Christmas boxes that we just did? And we send hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christmas boxes that the different Northridge churches collected and sent. Why? Because there's gospel pamphlets in there. There's Bible study materials that we give to the churches for follow-up for those kids. Because it's all part of making disciples here and around the world. Making disciples has to do with, I think, of Brenda up in Nebraska City, who faithfully has her crew and they make meals. They started with a group of 8 to 10 when we started up in Nebraska City. Now between 30 and 40 come on a Sunday to worship the Lord and to enjoy a good meal. It's people like Brenda who have that heart to serve. That's part of making disciples. Part of making disciples is why we have sent out over $585,000 this year to our missionaries that are around the world so that they can give the gospel and plant churches. I just got back from Japan with Carl and Emma and got to go to the church there, which was on the fifth floor of a bar. But it was great meeting there with Japanese believers who, by the way, just two of them just got baptized last week. It's exciting to see that. That's what's going on around the world. That's part of why Northridge Church exists, is to equip and make disciples even around the world. And so this is what's going on. This is why in the last 4 months we've been averaging over 1,000 people per week. Why our Christmas services, our Christmas Eve services, had over 1,000 people attend. It's not about just the numbers, though every number represents a soul. It's about the impact that God is having through you, the body of Christ, as we are tenacious about making sure that we stay on target of making disciples. Now listen, I know that we are all at a different stage of our spiritual journey. Some of us may have just come to know Christ. Some of us may have known Christ 60, 70 years. We've all come and at different times. Maybe this is your first Sunday that you've stepped into church. Or maybe this is, you know, 70 years of going to church. But what's really important is that, A, as we said in the beginning, that you know Christ, that you have a personal relationship with him. We cannot do church. We cannot be church. We cannot make disciples if we do not know Christ in a personal way. And so even in your outline, we are encouraged to make sure that we are looking to Jesus as our Savior, that we're looking to him and following him as our Lord, that we are serving the family of God, and that we are sharing the gospel. You see those 4 points there. And that last little line there in your outline is what I want us to go into the new year being aware of. Don't neglect. Beware of neglect. Neglect is an evil beast that will come into your life and may try and come into the life of the church if we are not aware. You know what I mean by neglect? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, as the book of Proverbs says. If we are not tenacious on staying on target, you staying on target, and we as a body staying on target. You know, we, those of you who have entrusted us as elders, we will be faithful and keep us on target. But you need to keep yourself on target for reaching and equipping people for Christ. So don't neglect. Don't neglect your personal spiritual life. Make sure you're in the Word. Make sure you're in fellowship with one another. Don't neglect meeting together. Don't get lazy. Don't get in bad habits. Make sure you're not neglecting your spiritual life. And then make sure you're not neglecting the needs of the body, whether it's personal needs, corporate needs, building needs, financial needs, volunteering needs, whatever it may be. Let's make sure that we are staying aware of what's going on in the family, your personal family, yes, and the family of God, so that we can continue to be strong and faithful at reaching and equipping people for Christ without borders. That's why we exist. That's why you exist. Let's make sure we do it together. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your salvation for us. Thank you so much for the salvation that you have given us and the forgiveness of sins. You are our rock, our redeemer, our savior, our mediator, our advocate. God, you are everything to us, and we thank you for that. Thank you for being allowing us to be part of your church. Thank you that you grow your church. I pray that we not mess it up. I pray that we not get in your way. I pray that we not neglect anything in our own personal lives or in the life of your family, this church. So God, we are excited for what you have done. We're excited for what you're doing. And we are really excited for what you will do in the future, whether that be people coming to know you, the fellowship becoming encouraged, comfort, needs being met, buildings being built, crowds coming, whatever it may it be to your honor and glory. For we ask it in the name of our only Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.